Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As I was looking at the first reading today, it reminded me of an experience in my own life, which I have shared before on this program, but I know that I have many new listeners in the last year or so, and I wanted to share it again. But let's take a look at the first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Short passage, but power-packed. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down, and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. This is Isaiah 55. Lord is speaking about the power of his word and the fact that his word brings life. It makes soil fertile. It makes the seed bear tremendous fruit. And God says, it shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. When we open our hearts like well-tilled soil, and that's what the word has to do first, is till the soil of our hearts. And when it does that, then the seed of God's word can be planted there, and it will take root, and it will bear fruit. That's what God wants for each one of us, that analogy, that image that we see all the time. If you go by any farmland, and you see it. Sometimes you see it right in the city through the crevices of the sidewalks. Life. And what the Lord is saying to us is he wants our hearts to be like soil that's tilled so that it can bear fruit 100-fold. And what goes into it is the living seed. It's the seed of God's word that when it takes root in us because we've tilled the soil and made ready to receive the seed, and that's what we should be doing every day, but certainly during Lent. How can I till the soil of my heart? Do I have rocks in there, stones? Do I have thorns that choke the seed, the sprouting of the seed? What do I have in my life that keeps the soil of my heart from being fruitful, from being a living force in a sense that it can receive the truth of God's word and quickly begin to bear fruit? That's what God wants to do with us. The story, very briefly, was a number of years ago when I was serving at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and I was reading the word every day, and I was beginning to learn how powerful it was. I was beginning to see its effect on my own life, my own decision, my choices that I was making. Things were changing, and I loved the word. So I was reading a passage from John about love one another as I have loved you, and I was just stopping with that and pondering how God loves me, and then God was calling me to love others the way he loved me. And I was a bit overwhelmed by it, but I was really trying to take it in and saying, Lord, you never ask something without imparting the power to live it. So would you help me? And honestly, in my head, if you know me, you know that I think I'm a sound mind, at least I hope I am. But this thought just came into my head. No voice, no audible voice, just a thought. Eat my word. And I took it very spiritually, and I said, yes, Lord, I want to eat your word. I want your word to become one with me. I desire it, and I long for it. Thank you, Lord. Eat my word. And it became insistent. And I got up. I was in the chapel alone. I got up and walked around a little bit, and I thought, and I knelt down again, and I read through that passage in John, and I pondered it and eat my word. And it was so insistent that finally It was as though God were right there in the room with me. In a certain sense, he was. I was before the tabernacle. And again, eat my word. And I said, it was like I engaged him in conversation. And I said, eat it? Eat it. Real simple, eat it. So after a struggle of about a half hour, I went up and I got a, I got a pair of scissors and I cut out that verse from scripture. And I asked the Lord again, eat it, eat it. So I took that word and I put it in my mouth and I chewed it and I swallowed it. Now, I don't think I digested it. It was a symbolic act, but it changed me. The word of God is living. The word of God has power. Do I love as he loves? No, but from that moment on, I sought to do that. And there is power. Sometimes I see a tiny little sprig of a fruit of that, and I pray that one day before the throne of God, it will flourish. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to separate bone from marrow. That's what scripture tells us. Let the living word of God into your life. Start by simply reading it every day. Read the Psalms, read the Gospels. If you're not used to reading scripture, start with the Psalms and the Gospels. Doesn't mean they're easy, but start there. Then go to the letters of St. Paul and John. Read those. Ponder them. Then we'll get you to the Old Testament. Or if you're familiar, start from the beginning of the Bible. Go from Genesis to Revelation. Go straight through it. You can do it that way. The point is that you read it every day. Don't be on a starvation diet, for heaven's sakes. Just as from the heavens the rain and the snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. I'm repeating this because I want you to hear the living word. And when we allow that word to take root in our lives, it begins to bear fruit. And you begin to know the joy of Christianity and the hope. Psalm 34, from all their distress, God rescues the just. We all go through distress and sorrow. But when we cry out to the Lord, when we seek the Lord, he answers us. He helps us. He leads us. He guides us. Psalm 34 is another very good one to memorize. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them. From all their distress, he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Those who are crushed in spirit, he saves. No matter what state we're in, he is with us. He's with you right now. The living God is with you. You are never alone. But he's a gentleman, in a sense. He never forces himself into the picture. He waits. He waits for us to turn to him. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans who think that they will be heard because of their many words." I'm always praying. Or, oh, look at that person. They're always in church. They're always praying. That may well be, but it may also not be. It may be that somebody is hoping to win the praise of others by praying. It's all for outward show. It's like the Pharisees. We can fall into that. So when we pray, we want to pray for the right reasons. Even if our motives are mixed, just say to the Lord, purify my motive. Help me. Just be honest with God. Purify my motive and help me. I'm here to pray because I want to draw closer to you. Period. Motive. Pay attention to it. Do not babble like the pagans. In other words, just if I say many words, that's going to make me look like I'm holy, and that's what really matters. Not what God thinks, but what others think. That's what really matters. We get caught up in that. That's our pride. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, my Father, Papa. Whatever term you use to address Father, with honor, but with great affection. Our Father, my Father, Abba, hallowed be your name. May your name be exalted in my thoughts, in my words, and my actions today. Doesn't mean that you have to say the name of Jesus. It means that your thoughts, words, and actions conform to who Jesus is. The Holy Son of the living God, the one who loved us and died for us. It's in the power of that name that I want to live. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. Praying the Lord's Prayer in one sense is dangerous because we're saying to God, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't say one thing and mean another. You end up a hypocrite. And God does not like hypocrites. But the moment you repent, he draws you to himself. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be double-minded. Don't be two-faced. Say what you mean and mean what you say. It's one way of phrasing it. So thy will be done, not mine, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give me what I need for the day. The Eucharist, of course, is the most powerful food we could receive. Receive it as often as you can. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need, Lord, for the day to follow you more closely, to be more your disciple. Forgive us our trespasses. Ask God right then. These are the things I've done and I've barely gotten out of bed. And yet in my thoughts or my words or my actions, I've already done this. Lord, please forgive me and help me. If you say that and really mean it, strength is going to come to you. But the second point here is forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And how many times have I spoken about that? We're asking God, forgive me the way I forgive others. So pay heed, because if you refuse, if you seek revenge, if you're jealous, if you ignore, if you won't speak to, you're asking God, forgive me the way I am forgiving others. And the way I'm forgiving others is I'm not forgiving. It's a prayer that the Lord's Prayer can really convict you. I'm asking God, forgive me in the way I forgive others. Pay heed to that. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. Take heed, brothers and sisters. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.